Shalom to all. Today's daf is Yom Shabbos, daf Samach Beis, and we are starting right at the top of the Amud, and the Vilzer daf, it's on Nun Amud Beis, near the bottom with the words Kol Ilan Shiraya, and today's daf is sponsored by Ilan Nishmas, Maris Merim Sarabas, Yaakov Maisha, Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. And another word gives a slight introduction before we continue discussing the melachas that are listed in the Mishnah. Kol Ilan Shiraya, all these shirim, meaning all these melachas that we're discussing, the shir that one's going to be chai for doing them is as follows. Im Lo'echlin, if he's doing this with food, that's Roy Lemichel Adam, a person's able to eat it, Kugagres, he's chai if he does it with a dried figs worth, Im Lo'behema, if it's for an animal, kimolei pigadi, he'd be chayv if he does a melacha with an amount that would fit into a goat's mouth. Im levashel, in regards to cooking, the chiv is kidei levashel beit zakala, the matter is to cook a beit zakala, which is just a regular egg. Im lereg, if he's weaving, kimolei roichav asit, we are not garish the word kafel, it's just regular roichav asit. Asit is the distance in between the forefinger and middle finger when they're stretched apart, so that's how much a person has to weave in order to be chayv. And im litvois, if we're talking about spinning, like spinning threads, kimolei roichav asit kafel, double the length of a sit. And now knowing that, continue to discuss the Mishnah, Hagoy Zetemer, somebody who shears wool. The question is, Goza Stam Mahu. Let's say he just sheared wool and he didn't express what his intention was. So he's going to be chayv for doing the amount of oireg, which is Reichav Asit, or is he going to be chayv for Tviya, for spinning, which is double that shear? As we said, it's Reichav Sit Kafel. And the answer is Nishmin Meladal. It's one from the following. We have a verse that says, Haitzi Dioi, if he took out ink into the Rosh Hashanah, in Bekolmus, if he was in a Kolmus, in a pen, or in a quill, Kedelech Toshtei Oisius, it has to be the amount necessary to write two letters. Whereas in Lagia, if he just wants to fix something it's already written, he only needs to take enough ink out to fix one letter. Now, what do we see clearly from the first part of this braisa? All it did was talk about writing two letters. It didn't say if he wants to write with it, so then he needs to take out the amount that's necessary to write two letters. And the reason why I didn't give that introduction is because it's obvious the standard use of ink is to write with it, and therefore it just gives the shear right away without telling us what he's doing with it. And it's the same thing with geizes. If a person was just stam geizes, he stam sheared a sheep, it's obvious that he needs it for tviya, for spinning, and so he's only be chayv for doing double the width of a sit. Continue talking about the malach of geizes. Taman Tanin, over there we learned in a Mishnah, this is Mesechus Bechairis. Ashechir Sabachar, when somebody's going to be shechting a firstborn animal, he has to make a place for the kaifetz, which is the shechita knife, here and there, which means he has to clear some of the hair away from the neck, and he pulls out the hair of the animal, as long as he doesn't move it from its place. We know there's an Isra in the Torah, the one's not allowed to shear a Bechar, he can't cut off the wool. And so there's this challenge, how is he supposed to clear the neck in order to be able to shecht it? He can't shecht it if there's hair there. That's why the Mishnah says that he has to be toilish this hair. He has to pull out the hair with his hand and not shear it, and he also can't move it from its place, which means he pulls it out and then he leaves it right there, all entangled with the other hair of the animal, the other wool, and that way it's clear he just pulled it out in order to shecht the animal, and that he's not doing geizes, he's not trying to use the wool for his own benefit. And v'chein, furthermore, hatosha sera luras makom mum, if he has to pull out the hair of the animal in order to be able to see a mum, a wound that it has, to determine whether or not it's considered a mum kavua, so also he has to pull it out with his hands and then just leave the hair there. Now, if Ela says b'shem Hashem and Lakish, ha'toilish man ha'kachim pater. One who pulls hair out of a kachim animal is pater. This is not considered the isra of geizes. We know that one is not allowed to shear a kachim animal, but here he's not shearing it. He's just pulling out the hair, so he's pater, and that's Rish Lakish's source. Now, Amar B'yakav Acha, Rish Lakish kedaite. Rish Lakish is l'shitasoi. This balgam we have machlokes ha'toilish b'kachim. Somebody who pulls out the hair of a kachim animal, Rabbi Yechon Amar, he says chayv. The person's chayv, or Rishim and Lakish are pater. Rish Lakish says he's pater. Now, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Abayi, Rabbi Yirmiyahu asks the following: Machav shitasoi Rishim and Lakish. We seem to have a stira in Shitas Reish Lakish. Skip the word dispalgan, it's not part of the girsa. We have a memra, hatoilish kanaf ba'if. If a person pulls a feather off of a bird that's kachim, amarta, if he smooths it out, which basically means he shaves the soft part of the feather off, v'hakaitma, one who chims it, chai mishum shalish, he's chai for three different lavim. Now skip the next seven words, we're going to be garish them in a minute. We just continue explaining this. Hatoilish, when he pulls the feather out, chai mishum gazes, he's chai for gazes, that's like shearing. Hamarta, when he shaves the soft part of the feather off, chai mishum moichek, he's chai for smoothing, and hakaitma, when he trims it, chayim mishum makapatish, he's chayim for makapatish. And so there's these three different lavim for pulling a feather out. Now this itself is our question, because on one hand, Rish Lakish said that toilish by kachim is not a problem, but here we see that toilish, pulling a feather out of a bird on Shabbos, is a problem. So is toilish a problem or not? Now we just go back to these seven words that we skipped, on Rabbi Yisrael Rabbon, v'loy pligin, there's no stira, there's no problem. And why not? Because v'loy dami, there's no comparison. Oif she'in le giza, a bird that doesn't have the concept of giza. You can't shear a bird. Flishasa, he gizasa. Pulling out the feathers is shearing for the bird. Bram Hacha, over here, when we're talking about an animal, a person's not going to be chayev until he actually shears the animal, but just inking hair or wool out of the animal is not gezes. And Tehidol Chashu King, you should know that's true. The Tanuif of Braisa, Talash Min Amisa, chayev. If someone pulls hair out of a dead animal that's kachim, then he's chayev, because Lishasa Zui Gisasa, pulling out the hair is the way to shear it. When it's alive, you have to shear it like regular, but when it's dead, the way to shear it is just by pulling out the hair, and that's the difference. And going to the next part of the mission, we said a Malabnoi, whitening, and a Hindu Magafer, somebody who who sulfurates. They take gefes, which is sulfur, in order to clean something. And what's he sulfurating? All manin, nechbalin, and alika. These are all different types of clothing. If he sulfurates them, that's malabin, that's nesser. Onto another case of malabin, hada itza, woman, desharka apa. If she puts makeup on her face, she basically whitens it, makes it clean, puts on something to make her skin look natural, or desharka ma'azla, she does this to her spindle. It's some sort of cleaning, and therefore she's over for malabin. Even though she's not cleaning in the classic sense of washing clothing, it's still called a malabin because it's some form of cleaning. Moving on, hain chaita, a tailor, the yav chuta gai pume, who puts the thread in his mouth, this wets it, but it's also a form of malabin. And Reb Kain says, b'shem rabban de kesarin, hamaintun, this is a type of clothing, chai mishum malabin, one's also chai for malabin. This is made out of some sort of special material, that the way to clean it or iron it and press it is to pass it through fire, and even though this is going through fire, it's not even using water of any sorts, nonetheless, it's still considered malabin. Moving on to the next part of Mishnah, menapsai, combing, which is separating the strands of wool, and here's another expression of that, hain denaf es siv, hutz and guma, somebody who combs or separates any of these types of fibers or strands, chai mishum menapes, he's chai for menapes. On to the next part of the Mishnah, hatsoivai, one who dies, and the question is, matzviya hoisve mishkan, where do we see tzviya, where do we see dying in the Mishkan? And yes, even though we know that there was many different colored cloths in the Mishkan, for example, tcheles, argaman, and other things like that, we can't say that they dyed them there in the Midbar. There was no tcheles in the Midbar. Tcheles comes from a snail, which is in the ocean, and they obviously weren't anywhere near the ocean in the middle of the desert. And so it must be that people donated these cloths already pre-dyed. They had taken them out of Mitzrayim, and so they had these colored cloths already, and therefore, where do we see the action of tzviya happening in the Mishkan? And the answer is, shayu mishavitin behema, they would beat an animal, they'd strike it with sticks, and then when they would shech the animal and flay the hide, ba'iris elim adamim, that created the hide to be red. This is one of the things we use in building the Mishkan, red hides of animals, and that was the malach of dying, hitting it with a stick in order for the blood vessels to rupture and dye the hide red. Now Rabbi Yisrael says, hada amr, this tells us, ha'is chabura, if a person makes a bruise, v'nitzra badam, and blood gathers underneath the skin, chayiv, he's chayiv for that, that's considered dying. And similarly, ha'ma'adam oidim b'safa, chayiv, if a person reddens their lip, maybe they bite their lip and they cause it to become just a little bit more red, he's chayiv, and that's because seveah, it's like he's dying. Even though the lip is the same natural color it was before, it's red, it's just a little bit redder than before, nonetheless he's still chayiv for seveah. We continue, samach be'zom be'z on top, ha'moitzi dam, if somebody makes a cut, for example, and draws blood, chayiv mishum netilas neshama shaba'is himakayim, he's chayiv for removing the soul of that place. If one kills a person on Shabbos, that's netilas neshama, it's taking his soul, and here drawing blood from a part of the body is considered netilas neshama of that place, because we know dam hu anafesh, blood is the soul. Continuing, hatsar tzura, somebody makes a form or draws a picture, so arishon chai mishum kaisev, the first guy's chai for kaisev, the first guy usually drew the outline with like a pencil of sorts, and so it's like he wrote, and vasheni chai mishum tzevea, the second guy who's using the paint, he's filling it in, he's chai for tzevea for dying. Similarly, chisar ba'ever, if the painting or the creation is lacking a limb, it's missing a part, ubacher v'gamra, and one guy comes along and finishes it, chai mishum makav patesh, he's chai for makav patesh, the second guy, because he finished it up. Going back to malabin, vasoichen v'machabez, malacha achasi, squeezing out a cloth that's wet, or laundering that cloth, that's all the same malacha, that's malabin, that's whitening, that's cleaning. Atani, Rabbi Shmuel ben Eshel Rechem Breka Eimer, he says, Hatzabayim Shev Yerushalayim, the dyers in Yerushalayim, hayu esen schita malacha b'fnei atzma, they did schita, squeezing as its own malacha, so it's totally separate, and it's not malabin. Now the question is, altat Rabbi Shmuel ben Eshel Rechem Breka, according to this opinion, arbay malachas inon, there's 40 malachas, not 39, because schita is its own malacha. Of a nisni, why wasn't that taught in the Mishnah? And the answer is, lo yasina misni, elamila in dechol amamoydai bahen, we only taught something that everybody agrees to, and since this is a das yachid, that schita is its own malacha, that's why it wasn't taught in the Mishnah. Continuing to discuss the malachas, hain da avid chavalin, somebody who makes ropes, hain da avid mamzar, somebody who makes a belt, chai mishum taiva, he's chai for spinning. Hain da avid kuntron, nafon, machzalon, somebody who makes sieves, sacks, or mats, chai mishum mesach, he's chai for mesach. Mesach is setting up the loom, and so when he sets these up and he starts weaving them together, that's chai for mesach. Now before we continue, we're going to discuss weaving over here for a moment, and so let's just have a quick overview of the olden day weaving apparatus, which is usually called a loom. Now, picture is worth 1,000 words, but since we don't have a picture, we're going to have to suffice with 1,000 words, hopefully less than that. We have two frames, one behind the other. Thread was placed through the two frames, looped around a horizontal bar or harness, placed through the frame again, and then held by another bar. And this whole thing we just described is called the warp. Now, when frame one was raised, this lowered frame two, spreading the threads apart. And while they were spread apart, another thread is passed perpendicularly through this opening, and that's called the weft thread. And then this process was repeated. The next time frame one is going to be lowered, and this raised frame two, spreading the threads apart now in the opposite direction. Thread was passed through again, and when this action is continuously repeated, there you have your weaving. Something more tells us, Hada Itza, this woman, Kad Mashasya Bakuvya, when she feeds the threads through the frame, mishum miseches, she's chayav for mesech, for setting it up. Kadyava kadama, when she places it in front of her, mishum oise batin, she's chayav for oise batin, which Misha calls shtei batin nirin. Kan mekimaloin, when she sets up the entire loom, meaning when she puts this apparatus together, mishum baina, she's chayav for building. And kad machya, when she actually weaves, mishum areges, so she's chayav for weaving. And kad makatya benimaya, when she trims the threads, mishum machteches, she's chayav for cutting. And kad gamr mlachto, when she finishes, mishum makapatesh, she's chayav for makapatesh. And now we're going to have these same malachas just in regards to basket weaving. Basket weaving is not done on a loom, it's done by hand, but it's still very similar malachas. Hayin da avad kupin, one who makes reed or fiber baskets. Kad safar, when he winds it, he basically takes the soft reeds or fibers and he winds them into a circle, creating the base, so he's chayav mishum mesach. Kad mechayit, when he sews them, every row that's wound is sewed to the previous one to strengthen it, so he's chayav in that case mishum teifer for sewing. Kaf, when he bends it, meaning he starts taking his reed or fiber and winding it upwards to make the walls of the kli, he's chayav mishum baina for building. And kad mekateya, when he trims and when he cuts it, mishum mechatech, he's chayav for cutting. And gar melachtai, when he finishes it, mishum makapatesh, he's chayav for makapatesh. Similarly, now on to making beds and baskets, which is another type of weaving. Hayin da'avin malin arsavon, if a person is making baskets or beds, lo'arech, when he lays out the boards lengthwise, mishum mesech, he's chayav for mesech, lo'roichev, when he lays out the pieces that he's going to be using for the width, mishum oireg, he's chayav for weaving, because that's basically weaving the length and the width together. Kan kaliton, when he lays out the boards of the bed, mishum oisabatem, he's chayav for oisabatem, and kan mikateya, when he cuts them, mishum mechatech, he's chayav for mechatech, gar melachta, when he finishes, mishum makapatesh, he's chayav for makapatesh. Continue to discuss weaving, shnei nirin b'chaf echad, u'shnei chafin b'nir echad. A person can be chayav for oise batin nirin, whether it's two nirin, which is basically two threads attached to one peg or post, or if it's two pegs that have one thread, either which way is going to be chayav for that. Now another din we're quoting from the Mishnah, ha'erig shnei chutin, one who weaves two threads, v'apetzeh shnei chutin, one who removes two threads, ha'koshe v'hamater, or one who ties or unties, he's going to be chayav for that. And the question is, makshir ha'osav Mishkan, what type of tying did they do in the Mishkan? And the first attempt to answer is, shayu koshenes ha'metarim. They would tie the cords. When they would set up the Mishkan, once they arrived at a new place in the Midbar, the covers of the Mishkan had cords or strings coming out of them, which were tied to pegs that were firmly planted in the ground, and this prevented the cover from falling off. And so we see that there was tying in the Mishkan. But the question is, Loyla Shah Haisa wasn't just for a short amount of time. Hashem was going to tell them that they should pick up and move the Mishkan to a different place, so that's not considered a forever malacha. They're going to end up undoing it. And the answer is, Rabbi Yais tells us, Mekimin Shayu Chayim V'Nais and Alpia Dibur, since they would encamp and then travel based off of what Hashem said, Kimishuhu L'Oilam, it's like it was forever. Because when Hashem says, stop here and set up camp, so for all intents and purposes, they are there forever until Hashem tells them to move on. And that's why it's considered a kshira la'olam. However, the response to this is Amar Rabbi Yisrael says, on the other hand, mikim shiftichan gosh baruch hu shumachnisan la'aretz, since Hashem promised them he's going to bring them into the land, kimishi ilasha, really it's like they're only going to be there for a short amount of time. Because even though Hashem's telling them when to travel and when to set up a camp, at the end of the day, they know that this is not their final destination. Eventually, they're going to get to Eretz Yisrael. So it's really just lasha and not la'olam. And therefore, Amar Pinchas Pinchas says, mitayfi yirias lamdu, we learn kaisher and mater, tying and untying, from the tayfi yirias. Those who were sewing the yirias, the curtains of the Mishkan, they tied and untied. How so? Samachim olam ralph on top, nifsak hayakashrai. If a thread snapped, if it broke, the one who's sewing it would just tie it. Chazav nifsak, if it went and snapped again, that very same thread, so lasis and ksharm ksharm yefshir. They can't make it knots knots. The same thread snapped twice, they can't have that thread there. Therefore, halachayzer mater sarishon, the person sewing it would untie the knot that was just made because it just snapped again and reattach a totally different thread. So here we have kashru mater. However, Amar Chizki of Chizki says, hahin chaytu mono, an expert tailor, mivla train rochel, is able to hide the two ends, meaning an expert tailor is able to have two knots made in a thread that was snapped, and you won't be able to see that in the thing that he was sewing, and that's what they did in the Mishkan. So you don't have a raya that there's mater, that there was untying in the Mishkan from here. And therefore, v'haita amrada, where was the said? Meaning, where do we learn kosher and mater, tying and untying in the Mishkan? Damar bias Reb Chanina, that's what he said, me'arg yirias lamdu, is learned from those who wove the yirias, not from the ones who sewed the curtains, but from the curtains that were woven. That's where we learn it from. We're going to stop here for the day, but pick up tomorrow, continue to talk about this. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.